Newsmakers. From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, I'm Maureen McCollum.
Second, I move that we approve the route pursuant to our discussion here today. An issue with CPCN.
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. That motion carries.
Last week, the Public Service Commission of Wisconsin's three commissioners approved the state's portion of the CapEx 2020 project. That's the major energy transmission line being built by 11 power companies, including Xcel Energy and Dairyland Power Cooperative. The 15-story power lines will begin in the Dakotas, cross the Mississippi River, and enter Wisconsin at Alma. The line will travel south on the Great River Road until Trempealeau, where it then heads east to Galesville. After that, it zigzags south on Highway 53 to Holman. It's a controversial, polarizing power line that has faced backlash leading up to its approval. CapEx partners contend the upgraded 345-kilovolt line is needed to provide more reliable energy to Wisconsin. PSC commissioners acknowledge it's part of a greater Midwestern transmission project. Once the line is built, it will have different effects on the region. Today, we'll talk with different people about what lies ahead for them in regards to the CapEx 2020 line. First is Joy Selicki. She lives in Galesville, and CapEx will be coming across the front of her property.
Well, I live just east of the stoplight at Galesville, so I'm right along Highway 53, 54, and 93. I've been there since 1994. It doesn't seem that long, but it has been quite a while. And it's a beautiful place. It's a beautiful valley. It's called Decorah Valley. It was named that probably well over 100 years ago. And it's just a beautiful setting, and that's why I chose to move there.
And then last Thursday, the Public Service Commission of Wisconsin decided that the CapEx 2020 project was needed in Wisconsin, and they also chose a route, and that route happens to come right through your property.
Right through my front yard, almost. It was very disappointing. I heard that morning that they were going to be meeting on the CapEx 2020 project and discuss it. I wasn't expecting a decision so soon because we were informed that their decision would come probably early June. While I was kind of assuming it may come through there, I still wasn't prepared to have the announcement quite so sudden. So I was kind of watching throughout the day for their announcement or for some decision, figure out what's going on. And shortly after noon that I did see it come up on the news that they had decided and that the route would be through Galesville.
And how did you react? How did you feel?
It was actually my last day of school. I'm a instructor over at Western Tech. And I found out right before meeting with my final class of the day, it was my second year students, who's a great group. Most of them were graduating. So 10 minutes before going into the last class period, I found out. And I cried. I literally did cry when I found out about it. So I met with the students and tried to keep it together, but it was just very upsetting, more so than I thought it would be. Again, I assumed it was probably going to happen, but I guess I just wasn't prepared for it.
So why is the idea of the CapEx lines coming through your property, why is that so upsetting?
Well, it's upsetting for a lot of people. There's several issues. First of all, the aesthetic degradation of the area. These are tall poles. They may range 150 to 170 feet.
Which is about 15, 16 stories.
Right. So they're just the size of them. They're massive. They're huge. There's other concerns as well. Property values will likely decrease. There are issues, concerns with EMFs, which are electric and magnetic fields. While there supposedly has not been any direct research that shows there's health concerns, health issues, there is some indications, for example, childhood leukemia shows an association with close proximity to power lines resulting from EMFs. We are electrical beings, so personally, I think there probably is some health concern with the EMFs. There's also concerns such as a stray voltage for those who have animals along the route, cattle, for example. That's a very real concern. Also, groundwater issues. The foundations for these poles will have to be approximately about a third of the height of the pole. So we're looking at probably digging a hole 50 feet or so into the ground. There'll be pesticides applied beneath these lines. It's understandable. They can't have trees growing up into the lines, so they do need to do clear cutting and also apply pesticides, such as glyphosate, which is commonly known as Roundup. Some research recently shows that glyphosate is affecting some microbes in the soil, and they're becoming some superbugs associated with glyphosate. I think Ohio State has done that research. The noise is another concern. In humid conditions, the lines do crackle, sizzle, and pop. Well, here in Wisconsin, we do have humid conditions for a good part of the year. So it's the noise. There are several other issues as well. Induced voltage. If you're close to the line, you have to attach a metal pole or a metal chain to your car. Otherwise, your car battery will be drained overnight. I do own a Honda Civic Hybrid. I'm not sure what it's going to be doing to that larger battery as well. I don't know. We'll have to see.
And there's some issues for farmers with needing to attach chains to their tractors as well.
I have heard that, yes. There's also issues with farmers and their center irrigation system, center pivot irrigation. You can't have anything higher than 14 feet in the vicinity of these power poles. And some of the trucks, some of the combines probably extend above 14 feet. So there's issues with agriculture as well for the equipment. There's other issues as well, too. The list can go on and on and on.
So what are you going to do? Do you plan on staying in your home? Have you made that decision yet?
Well, one of the first things I'm going to do is try to get in touch with the CapEx 2020 people. I was informed by their routing manager, Mr. Tom Hillstrom, that the pole that is indicated to be at the end of my driveway could actually be placed somewhere else. Tom mentioned that, I believe, last summer at a meeting that I attended. So I'm going to follow up with the CapEx 2020 people and see, can we relocate this pole maybe 300, 400 feet away? That would be a big help.
But then would that just go into someone else's yard?
It would still be on my property. But the difference is it's not by a residence. It would be out in a field. So that's the first thing I'm going to do. And I recommend other people also contact CapEx 2020 as well. It does concern me that I have talked to people recently along the route who are affected, and they still don't know, even though it's been announced it's coming through, they still do not know that the route has been selected. The American Transmission Company sent out a letter approximately 5 weeks ago to us. We were also on their chosen route, one of them.
That's the second route that would run from La Crosse to Madison and would connect with the CapEx 2020
correct
line.
Yes, it will connect somewhere. That location has not been selected yet. It could be up by Arcadia. It could be north of Galesville. It could be by Ettrick. Could be in Holman. But we had the possibility of having two high voltage lines coming through our area. Well, the people received the letter stating that we are no longer on their route. They're thinking it's the CapEx line. I've talked to three neighbors in the last few days, and they said, oh no, we're not having that built. I said, yes, we are. So I would like to see the CapEx 2020 people notify people again that, yes, you are on this route, because there's some misunderstanding right now. People think that they're not, and they are.
The PSC and CapEx have to finalize a couple issues, and that
right
final order is supposed to come at the end of the month, so maybe sometime after that.
That could be, yes. We are also still waiting to hear from the USDA report on the line. They also are issuing an environmental impact statement, and that decision is supposed to come in July. However, I don't foresee any issues with that. I believe they're going to say, yes, we also approve of it. We have our fingers crossed, but it'll probably go through as well.
One of the things that will take place within the next many months is CapEx will hire appraisers to compensate landowners for land that they use. Have you thought at all about that process, and is there any minimum amount of money that you're expecting?
Actually, I have not thought about that process. Information on the process is pretty scarce. I have not read any dollar amount. They said they look at the assessed land value, which of course is different for each property. My property is agriculture, so the assessed value is relatively low. Is it going to make me happy? No. I mean, no amount of money is going to make me happy. I'll have to deal with that process when the time comes, and we'll see. But to be honest, I don't really know what to expect with that process.
Joyce Selecki lives in Galesville, where the CapEx 2020 power lines will run across her property. She emailed me earlier today to say she did talk again with CapEx 2020 permitting leader Tom Hillstrom. He told her he will try to have the transmission pole relocated further from her home. We'll hear more from Tom later. You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. The village of Holman is the ending point for the CapEx 2020 power line. The line runs on the west side of town, and a substation will be built on Briggs Road. Along with a number of other municipalities, Holman's village board and school board formally opposed the project, saying it could negatively affect homes and schools. After CapEx 2020's approval last week, the La Crosse Tribune quoted Holman Administrator Scott Heinig, who said the CapEx route was still an atrocity. Holman Village President Nancy Proctor's thoughts are a bit more level-headed. Speaking from her office this week, Proctor says it's because she's been following the project's progress for so long.
As you know, there have been many, many meetings. We have been to many, many meetings. And we've seen several different routes that were proposed. We have a 970-acre TIF district to the north of Holman that was annexed in several years ago and is now in the throes of getting started. And they proposed this substation in the middle of our TIF district. Well, after talking to several people and using some connections in Madison, that went away, fortunately. We weren't as fortunate with other things there, but the route that they're now proposing is one that we had talked about, where the CapEx 2020 line would come down from the Galesville area along the bluff where there is an existing line already. When it gets up to Highway 3553 interchange just immediately north of the village, but it is in the village property, gets up to that corner, they will come from the bluff and come across approximately where the cemetery is. People that live in the area know where that is. They'll come across there and they'll go to the west side of Highway 53 and then go south. And the route that is planned is they'll go down along 53 and they will jog over to the east side of 53 at a certain area where there are houses fairly close to 53 on the west side. They don't want to be over those houses. Isn't that nice? They weren't worried about the school, but now they're worried about houses. But they will jog over to the east and then go back west and go down to Briggs Road. And then it's our understanding at this point the Badger Line will come in, hook into them there, and go through Onalaska down to the I-90 and progress along the I-90 system. So one of the good things about this, number one, they aren't close to our schools. That was very, very important to our residents here. The other thing is that there is a large power line that currently comes through town. It's called a 161 line. It belongs to XL Energy. Where that comes along the bluff now, and when the CapEx line goes in, the 161 line will be pulled off of where it is now. It will go up onto the same poles as the 345 line, and they will run together, which means that when that is in place, then XL Energy will remove the existing lines out of the village of Holman.
And that'll go on the 345 kilovolt power line that they're going to put
on. It'll piggyback up onto the new poles. I have not been seriously pro or con this line. You know that when major companies in the United States decide they're going to do something, it happens. They don't always pay attention to local concerns, and that's where we were. We felt that they were paying no attention to us at all.
It was because the Holman Village Board decided to formally oppose it, and so did the Holman School District.
They both did, that's correct. But with the concessions that they have made so that they wouldn't be coming close to the schools and pretty much stayed away from our residential areas, we can live with it. You know, nobody likes infrastructure in their front yard, but to have them then tell us that they would remove some lines that run right through the middle of town, that run over residences now, that would be wonderful for the village. It'll aesthetically clean it up. We are on a project here to do some downtown renovation in the village. We're going to build a new library and some other things to make our community more pleasing to residents that visit or the people that live here.
You know, the line is more or less avoiding homes, mm-hmm. but it's coming close to some properties. So what are you hearing from residents in Holman?
Well, actually, the residents in Holman, they are not that close to the line because the line's going to be at, most of the time, it's going to be on the west side of Highway 53. 53 is kind of our dividing line between the township and the village. And they won't be close to homes. You know, they'll have 53 as a buffer. And, you know, I just was on a trip to the St. Louis area over the weekend, and I saw a lot of these big power lines and actually realized the impact that they have on regions, but also that they've put them in right-of-ways along major highways to take them out of the neighborhoods, you know, and people live with it. It's progress. That's what they call progress. So I think that we've been very, very concerned, and I think that some of that concern has now been alleviated. I know that the line won't actually be in place for at least 2 years, probably three anyway, before that gets going, because they have to come down from Alma yet. But I think that, you know, it's going to be a little less sour in our mouth when it gets into our area.
I want to talk about the substation that will be put in Holman, and that'll be on Briggs Road, and it looks like it's going to be southwest of 53,
yes.
Kind of where it curves around. Mm-hmm. Can you talk about that area there, how big of a space that substation's going to be?
I would tell you it's approximately 30 acres that they wanted for the substation. It's actually on a farm that's owned by Mike Dummer's family, and it's farmland there. Mr. Dummer had come to the board about healthy 2 years ago and told us that he had been contacted by them as a site for a substation. It's still in ag as far as we're concerned. It does not belong to the village, so you only have so much to say about it, you know. We would prefer it not be there, but I'd rather see it there than in the middle of our town.
Is Mr. Dummer's, is he upset that it's going there?
No, he's going to get paid.
Yeah. Will the village of Holman receive any compensation for land rights?
We don't know that yet. We're going to have to wait and see exactly where it falls. Okay. And then if they go over property that's owned by us, then they do make some remunerations to the people. But I don't have any idea what that is.
Holman Village President Nancy Proctor talking about what happens next in regards to the CapEx 2020 project. You're listening to Newsmakers. From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, I'm Maureen McCullum. Wisconsin's PSC approved the CapEx 2020 project last week. Although the Energy Consortium cleared that hurdle, people involved in the project still have a long ways to go. Tom Hillstrom is the permitting leader for CapEx 2020. He gives me some insight on what the power companies will be doing over the next few months.
Our work is by no means done. We have lots of work to do in engineering the line. The state route approvals, which we've got now from Minnesota and Wisconsin, tell us where the line will go. So we know that, and now we give our engineers the final approval to finalize their designs. And with those relatively final designs, we can go to other resource agencies and other permitting agencies and secure the final permits. That takes up a lot of our time.
The final design, and you're talking about the route, can it be shifted at any point now, or is that up to the PSC?
The route is final, but the Public Service Commission, when they approve it, they do give us flexibility to do some minor shifting. And that may be necessary to obtain permits, or it may be warranted from the standpoint of landowner concerns. So we do have the ability to make minor shifts.
In what circumstances, when you're looking at maybe where a pole goes, for instance, if it's going in someone's yard and they don't want it there, how much can you work with a landowner or with a municipality?
That's a good question, and every pole location is unique, and it's a matter of judgment. Like you said, if it's an obvious place where the impacts can be minimized by just shifting that pole somewhere else, then it's a pretty clear-cut case. But where we sometimes run into areas where it's not so clear, is where if you shift a pole away from one person, it puts it closer to another person, and those cases are always seen on a case-by-case basis. And it really, a lot of it comes down to just the judgment and the relative controversy in each area.
Not every single person is going to get compensated the same. If a pole's put in their property or if there's a line running through it, everyone will be appraised on a case-by-case basis. Is that correct?
Yes, indeed. And for landowners along the approved route, what will happen now is once the written order is issued, we will be sending out a mailing to all those landowners, giving them an idea of the schedule and the process. And the process that will be followed is that land agents from the utilities will contact each landowner and begin that discussion of what the compensation would be. We would have to buy easements from all lands that the line will cross, and the value of those easements will be determined very much on a case-by-case basis, and each parcel will be treated as a unique parcel.
And some people have said if the line is built on their property, they're going to end up moving. How do you respond to that?
Well, it's on a case-by-case basis, and it is, you know, we don't deny that there are impacts, and different people have different perceptions of what the impacts are. And what we try to do and our agents try to do is to treat everybody fairly and look at what the real impact is on those parcels. And what we have to do is compensate people fairly with money and pay them what the impact is on their land. And that's all we can do.
Does it make a difference if someone wants to stay on their property or if you know that they're going to sell their property, or are those treated more or less the same?
I think they're treated the same. You know, we have to pay a fair price, and that fair price is calculated based on the impact of the property value by our project.
And what about for municipalities, you know, lines that are built on city or village or town property, are those compensated the same as private homeowners?
Yes, I believe they are. You know, it doesn't matter who the landowner is, the price of the easement would be calculated the same way. In addition to paying for easements, municipalities also get an environmental impact fee. So each city and township and government will be receiving an additional environmental impact fee calculated based on the percentage of the route that's in each jurisdiction.
And is that a one-time fee or is that a yearly fee?
It's a lump sum larger payment for a one-time fee and then an annual smaller fee after that.
And what is that? I mean, you said it's for environmental impact, but how, I guess, does CapEx see these municipalities using that money?
I think it's up to the each government to decide how they want to use it. It's a fee that is built into the Public Service Commission's process, and it's not necessarily for any type of impact. It's just sort of a payment for hosting these facilities.
And what does this mean, I guess, looking in the future? I know Xcel Energy is hoping to get more involved with American Transmission Company's Badger Cooley line, which could stretch from the La Crosse area to Madison. With CapEx coming through, what do you think that means for the future of that project?
Well, that project is being permitted separately, and the commission and the staff have to treat each project as separate projects. What happens now that they've approved the CapEx route, it gives the Badger Cooley project more information on where their endpoint opportunity is. So it just clarifies the endpoint of their route.
Tom, is there anything else you want to talk about in regards to the CapEx 2020 project?
There's a lot more work to be done. Construction is planned to start in Wisconsin in 2013 sometime, so there won't be any immediate construction. We still have a year or more of planning to do before we can begin construction.
CapEx 2020 permitting leader, Tom Hillstrom. To see maps of the CapEx transmission line route in western Wisconsin, visit our website, WPR.org/lacrosse. You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. Coming up next, the city of La Crosse has received money to clean up some prime riverfront property. Find out what city officials hope to do with the land. To hear this or other recent editions of Newsmakers, visit our website at WPR.org/lacrosse.